to all the ladies in the place with under some pressure. Hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mac and Hoor, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over, tell your friends.
What's up, Packers fans? This is your... We are not going to the Super Bowl edition of the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown, presented to you by the good folks at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Gilbert, buddy, how we doing?
Not too good, man. It's time to, right now, you know, it's the beginning of the offseason for us, finally. And it's time to be critical, baby. Time to be critical so we can get this, whatever it is we need to get fixed. So next year, about this time, this won't happen.
Right on. Yeah, you and I are not going to get critical because, you know, we're selfish and we have like 7 months of podcasts that need to get done. So we're not going to fix the team in one podcast. We're just going to break down the 49ers loss because, you know, as I mentioned, we've got roughly like 29 podcasts that need to get done between now and when the when the boys report for camp. So we'll fix. I mean,
We got to lay the groundwork, though.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll fix the team. You and I will hash it out. We'll get it all done, but just not like today.
Okay, sir.
All right.
I'm just venting, man, because I'm pissed off.
All right. Quick dip into the news. There's not much going on. The Packers season's over. LaFleur, if you guys are. Able to, I think 11 a.m. is his press conference. That'll be streamed on Packers.com. And then Brian Gutekunst, that is the first time in a very, very long time that a GM has done a wrap up the year press conference in Green Bay. Ted never did it. Brian didn't do it last year. But on Friday, BG is going to do his kind of wrap up the year press conference and take questions from the assembled media, et cetera. So, something to kind of be paying attention for if you'd like to hear from the head coach and the GM. Za'Darius Smith is snubbed no more. I think he would have rather been an all-pro and probably should have been a Pro Bowler the first time around, but Double Nichols headed to the Pro Bowl. So is Kenny Clark. So is Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari are going to drop out of the Pro Bowl. They are not going to play in the game. And then yesterday the Packers signed 10 guys. Basically signed their practice squad to contracts and ensuring that those guys will be around for the offseason and will likely, head to camp as part of that 90-man roster in the summer. All right, Gilbert, let's kind of get into the mindset of a player at this time because you guys – you know, you've done it all. You've lost in the divisional round. You've lost in the NFC champion, you know, in the championship game round. You've lost the Super Bowl and you've won the Super Bowl. So, you know how it feels at the end of each step. When you lose on championship weekend and there's that 2 weeks in between because you got media week and then you've got the game week. What's that like? I mean, are you basically shutting everything off and, you know, kind of not paying any attention to the game? Do you still watch the game? Is it kind of too hard to pay attention to the circus that surrounds the Super Bowl when you were that close? I mean, are these guys kind of devastated right now or are they really motivated to get back to where they were?
I'm going to say a little bit of both. Back of your mind, you want the team that just whooped your ass to get whooped in the Super Bowl. That game never gets watched. I mean, some guys watch it to see what went wrong or whatever, but it's a non-factor. I never watched those games. I never watched Super Bowl 32. Game with Frisco, never watched that one when we lost to Terrell Owens, Mr. Crybaby on that one. I mean, it's just things that stick with you, and it burns you. You know, you just on a game like that, you just want to get away, go home for a couple weeks, relax, chill out with friends, start to get back, get ready. You know, get your mind focused, work on the things you know you need to work on to get better, and you know, just enjoy life. Because you got to sit there and you got to listen to all the criticism and you got everything you listen to until the following week and then it's over, you know. So it's devastating plus motivational at the same time. But then again, it's to your mindset how you want to take it.
I've always kind of wondered that. How long is that kind of chill time? You know, and I don't know necessarily how long it takes, especially now with the new collective bargaining agreement. I don't know how long it takes. I think it's honestly till about the draft where there's any OTAs, any time that the club would actually, you know, demand your presence. How long for most guys after a playoff run ends do you just take time for yourself and kind of, like you said, decompress, get away from football for a second, be around your family, be around your friends? And then when is the time where it's like, no, you know what? It's time to get better, time to get ready for next season.
Oh, man, for every guy's different. I mean, you know, you got a day or two to clean out your locker at the facility. I done seen guys like Reggie, next day after a loss like that, we in the facility and everybody's halfway gone and cleaned out their locker. I done seen him go in and work out and do some things, you know what I'm saying? So it just depends on who you are and how you prepare and how serious you are and who really needs a break, you know, because 4 preseason games, 16 regular season games, and starting into the playoffs could be taxing on somebody. And some guys just be like, man, I don't want to see, hear, do nothing about football for 2-3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So some guys said, man, I need to get in the gym and get my mind off these things, work on some stuff, this, that, and the other. So it's totally different, man, on whoever's doing it. So either way you go, my hat's off to you.
Yeah, I imagine it's like that, especially for the young guys. You know, a lot of these younger players, rookies, second-year guys, I mean, they're used to college seasons where you have no preseason games. You play your 11 games, and then you maybe play in one bowl game, you know, and maybe you play – you know, like 11 games in 13 weeks, take a month off and play in a bowl game. It's a completely different grind and a completely different schedule. Specifically, these rookies, you know, like an Elton Jenkins, you know, he played in 18 football games, probably 22 if you count the preseason. That's a completely different thing from what he did at Mississippi State. So you're exactly right. It's taxing. It's a different thing. It's why I've always, you know, the owners have talked about how non-functional the preseason games are and they want more regular season games. I think it's insane. You know, I love football, but I don't need any more of it. You know, that these guys play enough ball. The NFL certainly makes enough money. I don't need to see guys going down left and right. I don't need to see guys, you know, you start an 18 game season. We're talking about the wild card. Mm-hmm. You know, having to play 3 playoff games just to get to the Super Bowl. You're talking about guys who have played, you know, 22 games, 21 games. It's just not, that's not how the body works. That's not how football works.
Well, you know, you got to save room for Vince McMahon and his XFL, man. We got to see what they.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna have to kind of comb through. I think one of these podcasts.
We gotta pick a team.
We do. We gotta go through the roster. I saw the Tampa Bay Vipers. Packers fans might remember that. I think they actually signed both McCray brothers, Justin McCray, Jordan McCray. I think Justin McCray started a couple games at left guard for the Packers, and actually, you know, I didn't think he was awful. I know he didn't grade out all that well, but he was with the Packers starting a little bit, and I think his twin brother was on the practice squad for a little bit. But there are plenty of ex-Packers in the NFL, guys trying to kind of put something on film, try to get back in the league. These careers are short, and Gilbert and I will do that one. We'll do that 1 week. We'll comb through some XFL rosters and we'll guide you. Our wonderful Packer Report podcast listeners, we will guide you as to where your allegiances should lie in the XFL, because as soon as that, you know, we mentioned Vince knows what he's doing. Vince always knows what he's doing. Maybe later on in the week we can get your Royal Rumble pick too, Gravedigger. That's coming up this Sunday.
Oh yeah, I love me some wrestling too.
That's always been one of my favorite Sundays, is that Sunday between the Super Bowl and the championship game, because it's Pro Bowl Sunday, but really it's Royal Rumble Sunday. Anyway, Vince knows what he's doing, so you'll have XFL football as soon as the Super Bowl is done. I believe they kick off either that Friday night or that Saturday morning immediately after the Super Bowl.
Nice.
All right, Gilbert, let's pay some bills.
Yay.
Want to thank for about the millionth time, but we mean it every single time. I mean, we really do. Our title sponsor over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And you know what? We've been harping on this all season long about the fact that it's not just game day. And now we really, you know, need to drive that home, because there are no more game days. The good thing, though, about the fact that there's no more game days is the daily drink specials weren't available on Packer game days because they were going to sell it all anyway. So now, Sundays, you've got your $4 liquid brunch bar, 10 to 2, and that's every Sunday because there's no Packer game. You're locked in. You got $2 off any pitcher of beer. So if you're looking to have a little Sunday fun day, you know, maybe you're trying to get a little bit of lubrication before the Royal Rumble coming up here on Sunday. Maybe you're trying to, you know, head into draft weekend with a little bit of lubrication. But we've got, you know, Pasta Mondays on Monday, $8. Just fantastic deals day in, day out. We've talked about, you know, my favorite day over at Stadium View, which is Friday, the Friday Fish Fry, and, of course, the $4.75 double Tito's. You can have a real nice Friday for about $20 over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And Gilbert, they always treat you like an absolute prince.
Let's talk about the X's and O's of game day over there. The parking, plenty of parking over there.
Which is rare, which is super rare.
Yes. Then you, when you walk in the banquet hall, there's enormous amount of tables and chairs. You can go in and get warm. The games are on. They got plenty of TVs where you can see all the games. The service during game day is crazy fast. You know, they get to your table, they get to your orders, and they try to whip out that food as fast as they can. The atmosphere, they got music inside and outside. They got live bands most of the time. It's a great atmosphere when you're talking about X's and O's on game day. Access to the game is crazy. Just walk down the street. Just walk down the street and you're there. So Stadium View not alone has great food, great atmosphere on game day, regular crowd during the week. You know, it's one of the premier places in Green Bay to go and visit and then go over to the stadium. Off season, you go over there, get you a bite to eat, then you go over there and do the Packer tours. You might find me doing a Packer tour. You might find Leroy Butler doing a Packer tour. And the atmosphere from down the street to there is awesome. So please go out in season, out season. Check out Stadium Bar and Grill, Banquet Hall, and have a good time.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for your favorite Packer Report podcast host about that first about that first week,
yeah,
of camp, because that's probably the next time you're going to see me in Wisconsin. Normally I would spend draft weekend in Wisconsin, you know, go to the press conferences and stuff, spend time with my best friend who lives in Milwaukee. But I've got a baby girl coming on about April 4th. So picking up and heading to Wisconsin, it's going to be a no-no. That's going to be shut down by the boss immediately. So probably looking at a July return. So if you're looking for your favorite Packer Report podcast host in late July, you might just find him at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. I know it's Wednesday, folks, and I know you, honestly have probably played this one over in your head a million times, but we've got to get through it, got to break it down, got to understand what can maybe get a little bit better in the offseason. Gilbert, what were your thoughts on that first drive? You're in the NFC Championship game. This is a team that absolutely scored at will, you know, against you, really showed strong against the Vikings. I know traditional football would say fourth and one from the 50, you punt, you know, punt, play defense, trust your defense. Analytics football and more aggressive, you know, football, new age football, if you will, my personal opinion, and of course, you know, hindsight is 20/20, fully ready to admit that. I would have gone for it. I would have thrown a pass to Jimmy Graham, hit Devontae Adams on a slant, whatever. It took the 49ers three plays to get back to where the Packers punted from. You know, that's how long they lasted defensively. What were your thoughts on that first drive? You're moving, you're grooving, and then you punt on fourth and short from the 50.
Boy, oh boy. Look, you go back to the season, man, and you you remember those 4th and 1s that we lost. Do you remember the crucial 4th and 1s that we lost that we tried to go for?
And I do. I also remember 4th downs they converted in wins.
Yes. But specifically the 49ers, with that much so-called firepower that they do have, you want to try to plant them as far away from the end zone as possible. And you can kind of understand why he did that, because number one, it's not saying he doesn't have confidence in his team. He's playing chess. He's playing chess right now. So his move is to get them away from that end zone. We don't want to give up a field goal. We don't want to give up a touchdown. We can't get the first down, so let's get them away. You can see what he's thinking. And to me, we're armchair quarterbacks right now. It's his decision. You know, if he feel like his team is ready to try to punch that 4th and 1 or do whatever 4th and 1, let's go for it. A coach has to feel his team, man. And if he don't think they're ready, he's not going to do it. You know, or he feels like if we push them back, it's going to help us instead of hurt us. Obviously, that was wrong. And we got to live with the coach, man. Coach said we got to do it. That's just like when we were in that Super Bowl 32 and Coach Holmgren told us to let them score. Let them score so we can get the ball back so the offense can get out and score. We win the game. Let's not hold the time up. So we got to trust in what coach is telling us, and we got to do what he say.
Right. And I think, you know, that's kind of – the Packers were slightly above average as far as aggressiveness on 4th down this year. Not top five most aggressive, not bottom of – not super conservative. But you think with an offensive head coach, he'd kind of – you know, what's his thing? All gas, no effing breaks. Well, that was not an all gas, no breaks type of decision. Rodgers, you know, at the end of the day, 31 of 39, 326 yards and 2 touchdowns. You got a 97 quarterback rating against the 2nd best pass defense in the league. That all looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he was like 7 for 12 for 76 yards and a pick at halftime. And then it was 27-0 and the game was over. So as good as those stats look at the end, he was not very good while the game was still in balance. Now, did he try to lead a comeback? Yes, he did. Did they score all 3 times coming out of the half? Yes, they did. But I would say that, you know, San Francisco was probably in a more relaxed defense. They were trying to keep everything in front of them. I know specifically as the game started, Richard Sherman followed Devontae Adams. That stopped, and they went back to their base defense once they got up 20, they just kind of ran their normal stuff and just didn't want to give up the easy, quick, fast play. And I think that's what ultimately led to a lot of their success offensively. Gilbert, what did you think of the early offensive struggles, specifically just not being able to match the 49ers, and then even that fumbled snap when they were down 17-0.
Offensively, man, if we're not being physical, there's an attitude going into a game like that. You have to be physical. We can't be a finesse team. We can't just rely on Aaron Rodgers, even though that's, you know, the going thing. When you look at our team, man, I mean, did we really take the field like we're supposed to take the field? Did we really go into that first series confident? Or were we not sure of ourselves? I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I wasn't there, but it seems like we wasn't ready, man. It seems like to me, you know, some of the guys were there, some of the guys wasn't. All 11 got to be there for us to succeed, and I don't think we all were there.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I would say that this 100% was a finesse team against a physical team. Offensively, defensively, you could just see even the way that this is a very good pass blocking unit, but the pass rushers for San Francisco are so physical. Oh my God. And the way that Robert Saleh had those boys defensively rolling it. Saleh and Bieniemy not getting a head coaching job in this cycle is maybe another podcast discussion for another day.
Who's
because
that?
Well, the San Francisco, you saw who got hired, right? You know, McCarthy got hired. Rivera got hired.
Mm-hmm.
The special teams wide receiver coach from the Patriots, Joe Judge, got hired. Mm-hmm. And then Cleveland hired Stefanski, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bieniemy is the OC for the Chargers, or excuse me, for the Chiefs. Wrong CH there, the Chiefs. And Saleh is the defensive coordinator for these 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were considered really hot, high-level head coaching prospects. Both of them basically are the standard bearers for their team. Mm-hmm. Of course, Andy Reid calls the plays,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Kansas City. But you know what? Matt Nagy got a head job from under Andy Reid. Doug mm-hmm. Peterson got a head job from under Andy Reid and won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Andy always has called the plays. Just because Andy calls the plays doesn't mean that his offensive coordinators aren't ready to be head coaches.
Right.
And Bieniemy and Saleh just got no love. And Saleh, that defense, man, boy, they were good. You know, the Niners defense was good all year. But anyway, we're getting off on kind of a tangent there, but I'm with you. I mean, this was a team that wasn't physical going against the most physical team in the league in San Francisco. And I think that they're even more physical than Baltimore, which is surprising because of how much Baltimore runs the ball. It's just both sides of the ball, so incredibly physical. So explain, Gilbert, if you will, the deficiencies of Green Bay's current defensive scheme, because every time this happens, we talk about the scheme, the scheme, the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And Raheem Mostert, no disrespect to Raheem Mostert, but he is an undrafted free agent, a guy that has bounced around the league. Good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player. But, my goodness, 29 carries for 220 yards, that just can't happen. I mean, it really can't happen. That is just too many yards for an attempt. The guy had 142 rushing yards before contact, 142 yards before anybody touched him. Please, Gilbert, explain to us why the Packers could not stop the run.
It's like I've been saying all year, man, it's the scheme. It's just plain and simple, man. I mean, look at the 49ers, for instance. Okay, how many bona fide defensive linemen they got on the field at one time? Four, right?
Four. Yeah.
With two linebackers, right?
Most of the time, sometimes three, you know, but most of the time it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Bosa, Armstead, Ford, and Buckner. Ford is kind of three, four outside, but I mean, he plays defensive end for them. And then they'll have either two linebackers and a nickel or three linebackers. But yeah.
Well, let's look at that. You got that. We got three, sometimes two bona fide guys with one middle linebacker. Our angles does not accept that. And I don't know why we switch from when we had the four big uglies, two linebackers or four linebackers out there at one time, where we got, what's that, four, five, six, seven people in the box at all times, seven, eight people in the box all the time if Leroy coming down. You cannot run on that. You cannot run on that. I mean, you can get a break here, a break there, but for the most part of the game, we got you contained. This scheme we got right here, man, and it goes back to the defensive coordinator. Some defensive coordinators get so stubborn in their way that they don't want to listen or they don't want to go back and they don't want to switch things up. And that type of stuff gets you fired. And this scheme that we're playing, I don't like it. I don't like it because you're leaving Kenny Clark out sometimes in there by himself, or you don't have an adequate guy next to Kenny Clark so that we can tie guys up so the linebackers can roam. It's an injustice, and it's just a big injustice to Blake Martinez because he got the whole world in front of him, and he got to get there with guys shooting at his legs or shooting at him or coming up on him. You know, it's hard to do that in that type of a scheme. And then you figure out, how do they run the ball on us like that? Well, look at it, fool. It's right there in front of you. You got to get guys out there. And if it was me, if I was defensive coordinator, I'd go back to the four-man front, go out and get me a dog-ass nose tackle, and let Kenny Clark play that three, and with the Smith brothers on the ends, and we will murder everybody on defense. But, of course, we can't do that. We can't see that. You know, I didn't go to school for it, but it's X's and O's. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. when you got guys like that acting like they know everything and not willing to bend to the things and the needs that we need, then that's going to happen. So I'm sorry I'm ramping and raving, but that's just how it is, man. The scheme kills us every time.
I tell you too, Gilbert, what they could do right now is you talk about playing the Smith brothers at the ends. Kenny is strong enough to play the one for sure. I understand playing him at the three because of his quickness.
Yeah, but you got to look at it like this. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but Kenny is so athletic, okay?
Right. No, I agree.
You need to get you a guy like myself and put him down at the nose, big brawler, and let Kenny go to work on the outside. Just like Kenny reminds me when he gets into that mode of that three technique of Santana, because Santana gets upfield fast. You see what I'm saying? So why
I do.
Why is it restrict that type of a talent to put him down at the nose tackle when he could rush the passer or anytime at the three and get you a big brawler for the nose tackle? That's what I'm saying.
You remember right when we started this, podcast, and I talked about Mike Pennell, the guy who big number 64, he was like 6'4", 340,
yeah,
had been with the Packers and was out on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chiefs signed him, and now he's going to play in the Super Bowl, and he has been kicking ass for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He was on the street.
Yeah, why do you think they got rid of him?
Right.
I'm asking you, why do you think they got rid of him? Because he don't.
Oh, because he couldn't rush the passer.
Stupid scheme that they got right now.
Right. So, like, if they wanted to, I'll kind of finish what I was saying. Not that I disagree with you, but I'll finish what I was saying. If they wanted to go to more of a four-man front right now, my opinion. Mm-hmm. Go back and put those 5 pounds on Rashawn Gary and get him back up to 280. I think Gary would be a monster three tech. If you look at his ability when he kicks inside to rush and hold up against the run, and he doesn't really bend like an outside pass rusher. I think if you put Clark at the one, right, it's not the best use of his athleticism. I understand that. But Gary as a three tech, as a guy that doesn't have to think, as a guy that doesn't have to, you know, remember how to use his hand and flatten at the quarterback and do all the things that he's trying to learn as an outside pass rusher, and you give Gary one thing to do, I think he and Clark inside could really mess stuff up, and then you don't have to acquire anybody. Now, is it still a good idea to get a few more dogs? Yes, absolutely. You're right. But I think that Rashawn Gary has tremendous potential as a three tech and as a guy getting upfield.
Who was 94? What's his name?
Lowry. Dean Lowry.
Now they paid him. They just gave him a new contract, didn't they? Do you like him?
Yeah. Not,
do you like him?
Not a ton of money. He's all right.
I'm sorry. You got to look at the guys when it's at the point of attack.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you say, well, why did they do that? Why did they let this the guy in Kansas City go and put him there? And you got to go back and look at the film on the point of attack. When they fire off the ball, where is this guy? Is he across the line of scrimmage, or he's back there with Blake Martinez, or he's dropping to a knee? Martinez. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to sit there and you got to look at the guys from the point of attack when you're playing these teams and understand how to attack them. And if you got guys that's dropping to a knee or playing back there with Blake Martinez, why do you give them these crazy contracts and they're not earning any money? I'm not bad mouthing Seasons. What's his name? Season Salt? Lowry. Season Salt. I'm not bad mouthing that guy because he's probably a good player, but you got to look at the scheme and the point of attack.
And he doesn't make a ton. I mean, they gave him a new extension, but it wasn't big. So the reason Lowry's around, Gilbert, is because he's 6'6". And yeah. when you run those 2 and 3 man lines, they love long.
When you drop into a knee or in the back, then you 6'2", 6'3". So what, man? Right. It doesn't matter, man. You got to get across the line of scrimmage, man.
I'm with you, and that is how the 49ers are built.
Oh my God.
But those guys aren't dropping to a knee. Here's Buckner and Armstead. Buckner, 6'7", 295. Mm-hmm. Armstead, 6'7", 290.
You talking about inside guys?
I'm talking about inside guys for the 49ers. Yes. That's their deal, is that length. And that's, I think, what the Packers saw in Lowry. He's just not that level of player. He's not Armstead. He's not Buckner.
But they play in the 4-man scheme. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're in there. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I was 6'2.5", 6'3". Santana, 6'5". The height don't give a damn. It's about getting across the line of scrimmage from the point of attack. And if you're not doing that, and if you're in the linebacker's face or he can't move, what are you supposed to do?
Right. No, I'm
pissed off, man.
I've been
talking all year long.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Tom Silverstein, longtime guy. I think Tom Spoon wrote when you were there, right? Silverstein?
Yeah, I remember his crazy ass. Yeah.
So Spoon mentioned that it would not shock him if LaFleur made a change at defensive coordinator, because
something got to change at that position, man, because the scheme we're doing right now don't work.
And it's not his guy. He did not hire Mike Pettine. Mike McCarthy did. Quick shout out to Devontae Adams. He was a baller. He beat Richard Sherman deep. You know, he setting multiple Packers records this season in the playoffs. Nine catches, 138 yards. I mean, you just have to get the man some help.
Great guy off the field, too. Great guy off the field,
too. Oh, he's so good. I mean, I've been in the locker room and stuff. He's so good to us and is such a professional. Mm-hmm. Great guy off the field. Love Devontae. Just wanted to kind of highlight his performance because he was one of the few guys in offense that really brought it. I know what it's like for a fan, okay? I know what it's like for somebody that cares about the outcome of the game for the team. I know what's easier. I know that this game was a lot easier than, watching Seattle catch a onside kick in 2014 and win the game in overtime. I know that that was a lot more difficult. How about for a player? What's easier emotionally for you guys? I mean, I know you've lost not a ton, but a few times where Dallas or whoever just kind of beat your ass. But is that easier than for example, like the Terrell Owens game it feels like you've got it?
Oh no! You know what, man? As a former player, you sit up and you watch this, man. You just want to go grab your helmet and get out there and help. You know what I'm saying? It's just that serious, man. It hurts so bad because, you know, you're seeing things that's going wrong. You're watching them, but what can you do? It's like you're sitting there with your hands tied and somebody just slapped your mama. You know what I mean? And you can't get to her. you can't do this and you can't do that's how I feel. I mean, for me, because I bleed green and gold.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
You want to see these things in the offseason get fixed. And you want to see these people to understand, but you want them to hear you, but you know they can't hear you because everybody got their own agenda. But I mean, as a fan and as a former Green Bay Packer, we got so close this year. And for the outcome to be the way it was, it's a bad taste in your mouth.
It is. No, there's no question about it. I don't think this was a team. At the beginning of the season, a lot of people saying, well, they'll be better than they were. Seven wins in 17. And then they, you know, went 6-9-1 in 18. Like, all right, well, you know, they'll improve. Maybe it'll be 9-7. Maybe they'll go 10-6 and be a wild card. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw 13-3 coming. That doesn't change the fact that once you get to championship weekend, you have to take Super Bowl possibility as a serious thing. You know, you're one of four, and is the roll of the dice going to come up your way? It didn't this season. I think that's tough. So describe the last thing I want you to do, Gilbert, mm-hmm. is kind of describe this, right? So whether it was end of divisional, end of championship weekend, whatever. Mm-hmm. What's this like now? You guys come back and cleaning out the locker at the end of the season. Is that something where everybody's kind of doing it at the same time? Folks are doing it at their own schedule, but you're almost always in there with somebody. I mean, what's the attitude like? What is that experience like for a player?
Well, first of all, it starts off with a team meeting, you know, get everybody there. So everybody be there. Team meeting, a lot of coaches and a lot of positional coaches want to do an out. You know, you go in and you talk to them and they'll probably sit you down and talk about, you know, what you're doing on the off season, what your plan is, you know, what you got going on, you know, stay out of trouble type stuff. Then the main part, I mean, all that's important, but the main part is when everybody goes back into the locker room and start cleaning out your locker. You know, for some guys, it's the last time. For some guys, you don't know. For some guys, you know, you're coming back. You want to realize, as a team, where you're going to be, where you're going to fit for OTAs and training camp and different things like that. So, but it's tough because, you know, it ain't like you're saying goodbye, you know, but it's like, hey, bro, I'll catch up with you in the offseason. Hope to see you soon type thing. But for some guys, you don't want to see nobody's face until it's time to go back to work, you know, for some guys. But in all, it's a bittersweet type of a thing, but it also, in your mind, motivates you because you don't want that feeling again. So you got to get ready. You got to figure it out, hoping that the guys that make the decisions make the right decisions so we can have a better team.
Yeah, such an interesting dynamic. I mean, you've got guys like Kyler Fackrell, Blake Martinez, Geronimo Allison, guys that have been around for a while, guys that have contributed in playoff wins, guys that, you know, have played 800-900 snaps in a season for you, and they might not be around next year. You know, there's a decent chance that Blake Martinez is going to be wearing another uniform.
I hope not.
But I mean, you know, in general, they've got decisions to make. Yeah. We did the offseason primer.
But it ain't him, though. Or do you agree?
No, I'm not saying one way or the other. I mean, there is certainly a dollar amount where I would just draft another linebacker. But there's also a dollar amount where I would re-sign Blake.
You kill a buzz kill sometimes.
I know I do, but you got to understand too. They're going to release Jimmy. Jimmy might have retired. Honestly, that social media post sounded a whole hell of a lot like a retirement thing. Really? And they're going to cut Lane Taylor because Lane lost his starting job to Elgton Jenkins, and they pay Elgton way less than they pay Lane. So, you know, that's a business of the business. But the Packers are only going to end up with about $30 million to spend, and a decent amount of that's going to go to Kenny. So you got to be kind of judicious as to what, you know, what gets spent elsewhere. And so they probably can't give Blake Martinez 10, 11, 12 million a year if they're going to extend Kenny. But that, remember, Gilbert, we said we're going to fix the team later. We're not going to fix the team today. We're going to fix the team later.
Okay.
All right.
I'm about to tell you something, because I'm sitting there just listening to you.
All right. Gilbert, buddy, I want to thank you for your time today. Folks, we really want to thank you if you're still hanging on with us, still listening to this podcast. And most importantly, we want to thank the Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They've been so good to us getting this bad boy off the ground. There's two big ways that you can support the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown. Way number one is to tell a bunch of Packers fans, friends about our show and make sure that they subscribe, make sure they give us that 5-star review. And leave a written review at whatever podcasting service you use to take this in, because that's going to have us show up higher in the sports and recreation charts, going to have us show up higher in the football charts. More people are going to be able to listen to Ross and Gilbert. You know, we're going to keep this show free forever. So the only thing that you guys can do for us is to tell more folks about the show. And the final thing, become a VIP member over at the Packer Report. We're going to have a major, major special coming up this weekend on VIP access to the Packer Report. That's going to get you through free agency, going to get you through the draft, and it's actually going to get you through all of next season too. So keep your eyes open for that. A major discount, major special. Guys, thanks for making this first season of the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown so very special. And go Pack, go.